in Awali Kudimrans, it's page 44, all the way on top of the page. Till now, in this chapter, we discussed about five or six major points. The first issue was to elevate Hashem's kavod. The first issue was Hashem's kavod, period, describing what gives Hashem great honor. And it was brought that specifically it's through being makar of people that are distant from Hashem, both Bali Tshuva and Gerim. And we said that that requires Torah's chesed. It requires a person who's able to share his Torah with others. That was step number one in terms of giving Hashem kovoid. Then Rabbein Ezal stressed taking this kovoid and elevating it to its shirish, which is yira. And Rabbein Ezal quoted Psukim to show that the origin of kavod is in Yira. And Rabbein Ezal said that when this is done properly, this results in shalom. And in the previous shiur, the last item that we discussed was two aspects to this shalom. A shalom ba'atzamov, an inner peace within a person, between his guf and his shama, etc. And then we spoke about a shalom, which implied a shalom ha'kloli, which was a shleimus ha'olamos, a concept of bringing shalom to all the different worlds. And that was tied into karbonos, and it was tied into tefillah. In tonight's shiur, Rabbein Ezal is going to present a story in the Gemara and show how in this story in the Gemara is included all the different concepts we had so far and showing how one thing leads to the other. This is one of the stories of Rabba Bar Bar Chana that's presented in the Gemara in Avodah Zarah, in the Gemara in Baba Basra. Rabbein Ezal says now, this is paragraph Tes in Likutei Moran Torah Yudalet Chelek Aleph. Rabbein Ezal says, "V'zeh shomer Rabba Bar Bar Chana, Omar li hahu tayo." A merchant, a certain Arab merchant, once told me, "Tov va'achvaloch, come and I'll show you." Hechi denashki ara v'rokia bahadodi, the place where heaven and earth meet, where they kiss each other, implying where the two are joined together. Azli, I went, v'chazoi, and I saw that place. I saw the place where Shamayim and Eretz meet. Da'ovid kavi kavi, and I saw that there were a lot of windows there. Shakliso lisaltoi, I took my basket of food. I was holding some kind of a lunch basket. Va'anchasei bekavsa derokia. And I put it like on the windowsill of one of these windows in Shamayim. Bahati dematzlina be'isa, after I finished davening my tefillah, I set a certain tefillah there. And at the end of my tefillah, I was ready to take this basket of food again, and I didn't see it anymore. The basket was gone. Amri, so I said, Iko ganvi hocha? Are there robbers up here who steal people's lunchboxes? Omar li, so the Taya said to me, Galgala dorokiahu dohodar. This is the way that the heavenly spheres rotate or revolve. They go around, and in other words, seeming to imply that what you had here, as things are spinning up here, suddenly this thing was taken away from here, and it's going through its cycle. And natar adlamochor, wait till tomorrow, kihashta, at this time of day, umashkachlo, and you'll find your basket of food. In other words, it seems in a one-day cycle, this thing will return, this galgal will return to where it is now, and you'll be able to get your basket of food. In the Rashbam, Hecho denashki arav rokia, mokoim govoya hoyesham, this is referring to a high place, shenoishkim yachad zeloze, where Shomayim and Eretz meet. V'lav hainu soif ha'olam, that's not the end of the world, because we know the Gemara says that the world, in terms of going to go from one world to the next, is a distance that a person would have to travel 500 years. And obviously, that's not what it's talking about here.
The Eretz Yisrael am tzuisa shel olam, and Eretz Yisrael we know is the center of the world. Dichsiv, as the pasuk says, yoshve tibur ha'oretz, those that sit in the middle of the world, like referring to Eretz Yisrael. Tibur refers like to the belly button in the center, the navel. V'hainu mekoymoi shel Rabba Bar Bar Chona, that was the place of Rabba Bar Bar Chona in Eretz Yisrael. Siltoi sal lechem sheli, my bread basket. Dohodar choizer, dohodar choizer. Chodar means comes back. Kedamrina mepsochem, as the Gemara says in Psochem, galgal choizer umazolos kvuim, that the world rotates, the earth rotates, and the mazolos are kavua. Now Rabbi Nazal explains, showing how each item that's mentioned in the Gemara is going to tie into something we learned earlier. The Nashki Arav Rokia, when in this story it talks about the place where heaven and earth meet, Ze Bechinas Sholoim Ba'atzomov. That's this concept of the inner peace that we spoke about earlier, an inner peace between the Guf and the Neshama. The Aro Ze Bechinas Guf. When we talk about earth, that corresponds to the body. Rokia Ze Bechinas Neshama. When we talk about the sky, that represents the neshama. Kamo she kosuv, as the Gemara often quotes a pasuk, the Gemara talks about when Hashem is going to judge a person, losid lavoi, so a person is going to be able, the guf and the neshama are both going to beg out of any punishment. The guf is going to say, I didn't do any sins, look at me, take the neshama out of me, I'm helpless, I can't do anything at all. The neshama is going to say, I didn't do any sins, it's that filthy guf that was with me, he was the bad guy, he wanted to do all kinds of terrible things. So the Gemara says, Hashem is going to call out to both of them. There's a pasuk that says, Yikore el Hashamayim me'al, Hashem will call out to the heaven above, and to the earth below, and he'll bring them together. This means Hashem will take the guf and the shama and put them back together the way they were when the person was physically living, and he'll punish them together. He'll say, both of you are partners in crime, so therefore both of you have to be punished together. But we see in that Gemara that the Gemara quotes the pasuk, Yikore el Hashamayim me'al, ze haneshama, ve'el ha'oretz, ze haguf. The Gemara says Hashem will call out to heaven above, that refers to the neshama, and to the earth below, that refers to the guf, and bring them together. So we see that Shamayim and Eretz represent the neshama and the guf, where they meet, when we talk about them kissing, this represents when there's a sholim between the neshama and the guf, which means, obviously, where the neshama is in charge. We mentioned many times, the Zohar HaKadosh says that the neshama and guf are compared to a horse and its rider. There's no concept of them making peace and both of them chipping in on the work. It's understood that in order for that relationship to work out, the rider must be on top of the horse. That's the only option that exists. The same thing is true in terms of the neshama, the relationship between the neshama and the guf. U'kishyesh b'neim sholoim, and when a person is zeicha to establish peace between the neshama and the guf, where they're working together, Al Yedeze Avidi Kavi. And the Gemara said that at this place where heaven and earth met, there were a lot of windows. What do windows represent? Al Yedeze Nase Tfilo Kanal. That's what prepares, that's what makes it possible for there to be real tefila. The Bechinas, as the Pasuk says in Doniel, the Kavin Psichenle Ba'alite. That, I believe, who was the king at the time, Nebuchadnezzar, had decreed that nobody is allowed to daven, that tefillah was forbidden, and the Novi says that Daniel went up to his attic, and he went to a place where there were windows facing Yerushalayim, and there he went and he did his thing. He was davening. So the Torah makes a point, the Navi makes a point of saying, the kavin psichenle baliose, that he had windows open in his attic facing Yerushalayim. And it's based on this that the Shulchan Aruch says that when you construct a shul is supposed to have windows wherever possible, based on this source in Doniel. So we see that when it says avidi kavi, this means tefillah. That as a result of this sholoim, this is what made it possible for there to be true tefillah. V'shaklis l'saltoi v'anachte b'kav seder rokia. I took my bread basket and I put it on one of the windows of the rokia. Salto ze parnoso. Rabbi Nizal says the bread basket represents the person's parnoso. Kemoimi sheyeshloi pas besaloi. As the Gemara uses an expression very often, a person who's earning a living is called a person who has pas besaloi. He has bread in his basket, meaning he doesn't have to worry about what he's going to eat today. He has what he needs for today. Hainu sheloi rotzo lasek b'shum esek meiske olam hazeh. When it says that he took his bread basket and put it on the window of the Rokia, it means that this rabbi, Rabbi Bar Bar Chana, decided that he didn't want to have anything to do with Gashmias, with Olam Hazeh. Rak bishvil nishmosoi. He decided that he was only interested in his neshama. Gam kol tfiloisov loyhoyu ele bishvil lekasher nishmosoi. And all of his tfilois were also only directed towards the benefit of his neshama, period. Afilu elu hat elu tfilois hamefuroshim betfilo shem letzorech haguf. Even those tefillos that are in the Shmon Esrei that seem to be limited specifically to talking about bodily needs, kigoin refoenu uborech aleinu v'shar tzorchi aguf, for example, the tefillah for refuah shleima, or the tefillah borech aleinu, which is talking about tevua and things like that, loyhoyo kavanosei shel Rabbi Bar Bar Chana b'shvil gufoi. Rabbi Bar Bar Chana decided to do a switch, that even when he would be saying those tefillos, which most people assume apply to the guf, he decided to redirect it towards his neshama. I'm not asking for a refuah for my body, I'm asking for a refuah for my neshama. The neshama should be cured from what it needs to be cured of, not physical ailments, but spiritual ailments, from the kas, from the stinginess, from the lack of chesed, all the different illnesses that the neshama suffers from. And what ela b'shvil nishmosoi, that loyhoya kavanos Rabbi Bar Chana b'shvil gufoi, ela b'shvil nishmosoi, shehoyo mechaven leparnosas nishmosoi ulerfuoso. And when he was asking for parnosa, he wasn't asking for bread and cake and fruit and meat. He was asking for the parnosa of the neshama, what the neshama needs to sustain itself. Torah, more pages that Hashem should bless him, should send him sechel and desire to learn, desire to daven, parnosa for his neshama, refuah for his neshama. So this is what it means when it says, v'shaklis l'saltoi, va'anachte bekavsa derokia, sheshokal litfilo shehu letzorech haguf. He took the tfilois, which most people usually apply to saltoi, to their bread basket, to the gashmias, va'anachte bekavsa derokia, he placed it on the heavenly windows, which means he placed it on heavenly needs. He redirected those tfilois towards the needs of the neshama, hakoil letzorech nishmosoi. Ki memelo kishenetaken shom beruchnius nitkan gam begashmius. Because we know that it's automatic that once the person's ruchnius is fixed up, the gashmius falls into line automatically. So he figured he'll kill two birds with one stone. He'll apply all of his tefillah, all of his energy towards the ruchnius. If everything will be corrected that needs correcting there, the gashmius certainly won't be a problem. Va'ad dematzlino bousi, and when I got up to the point where I finished my davening, lo yashkachte, I didn't find my bread basket. Hainu acharkach, this means after he tried this trick of davening only in one direction, davening only for the benefit of neshama, he found that in the end his parnosa did not come, his gashmius needs were not being fulfilled. Meaning, even though everything in his ruchnius was fixed up completely as a result of his tefillah, his gashmius was not taken care of. Omar, so he asked, Iko gan v'hocha? Are there thieves up here? Shegoinvim hashefa shali? Because it seems to me, logically, that it should be automatic. That once I get all the ruchnias, the gashmias should come to me automatically. And since the gashmias didn't come, obviously somebody walked off with it. Somebody stole it. So Omar's, so the Gemara, Heshevloi, so the merchant said to him, Galgala derokia dehadra. Hainu gilgulin dinishmosin hi hagoyremes shein letzadik kidei parnasosoi. Galgal means a wheel, Galgal is also Miloshin Gilgul, that it's the process of reincarnations that makes it that at times tzaddikim do not have parnosa. It's based on the soid hagilgul. It's based on all the different cheshbonos that Hashem has regarding the different reincarnations that people have to go through. Sometimes a person has to serve Hashem with wealth. Sometimes the same neshama has to be able to prove itself that it could serve Hashem with wealth and with poverty. So even though this person, in a sense, is a tzaddik, and it would make all the sense in the world that he should be rich, that he should have no problem with parnosa, based on the soid hagilgul, sometimes that's what justifies him not having any parnosa now. Kemoishakosuv gabi Rebbe Pedos, as the Gemara in Tainus says, and we're gonna take this story in a minute. We'll take the whole story because this is one of the most outstanding. This is a very outstanding story in the Gemara. That Ibois the Ichruv Alma, the Efsher the Ibris, Bishata the Mezoina. Hashem said to him, do you want me to destroy the world? And maybe you'll be created at a time when you will be able to get Parnassa. Now, this story is mentioned in the Gemara in Tainus, and it's also mentioned in the Tikkuni Zohar. One of the longest chapters in Tikkuni Zohar, chapter 69, is based, has a lot to do with this story. The Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos, now interesting, here it says Gabi Rabbi Pedos. In the Zohar HaKadosh, I believe it mentions Rabbi Pedos. In the Gemara it says Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos. I don't know if it's two different versions of the story, or there's any type of disagreement, a machlekes, as to who it was. But regardless, the Gemara says that one of the rabbis of the Gemara was so poor that one time, after he came out from a bloodletting, he had nothing to eat. The Gemara says usually when a person lets blood, that weakens the body, and you must eat something afterwards, otherwise chas v'shalom, the person can faint from weakness. So he had nothing to eat other than the skin of a garlic clove. That's how poor he was. So he because he had nothing to eat and he ate that, he actually fainted. And the Gemara says that the rabbis were sitting next to him, they saw him go into this coma-like, and they saw him cry, and then they saw him smile, and then they saw a spark come out of his forehead, literally. And the Gemara says that after that, he came around like they saw him come out of this coma. So they asked him, could you tell us what happened? So he said, yes. He said that when I fainted, I actually saw myself confronting the Shekhinah, confronting Hashem, and I asked this question, why is it that I have to suffer such poverty? Why is it that I'm going through such unbelievable poorness? So Kaviyochel, Hashem said to me, if you want, I can destroy the world and start over again from the beginning, and maybe you'll be created at a time of mazel, where the mazel will be that there should be parnosa. So the Gemara says, so he said, that was when I was crying, I was first presenting to Hashem my plight, you know, how poor I was. So he said, when Hashem made me this offer, I said to Hashem, how much longer do I have to go? How much longer do I have to live? A lot or a little? Because if I have a long time to go yet, then maybe it's worth it. Maybe I won't be able to hold out that long. Maybe it's worth it to have the world destroyed now and recreated, and maybe I'll come back at a time of Shefa. If it's just a little bit more to go, I think I can hold on. So he said that Kaviyochel Hashem smiled, Hashem enjoyed this answer. And Hashem said to him that this is a very good answer, and the truth is you really don't have that much longer to go. So he said, if I don't have that much longer to go, then I'm willing to stick it out. I'm willing to accept this happily. So he said, Kaviyochel Hashem was very pleased with my answer, and that was when he smiled. And Hashem said, because you answered this way, I'm going to give you a gift that when you pass away, you're going to receive 13 rivers of Afar Samoina Dachia, the purest, most fantastic spices that there are in the world. That's going to be your gift because you gave the right answer. So the Gemara says that Rabbi Elazar said, Hashem, that's all? Just 13 rivers of spices? So Hashem said to him, get the exact answer that Hashem gave. And the Gemara says, then Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos said, if I were asking, Hashem said something like, what do you want? Everything?
Right, so, you have to leave something over for the other.
Exactly. That's the word. The Gemara says, Hashem said, we have to leave something over for the other tzaddikim. So the Gemara says, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos said, but hold on a second, Hashem. If I were asking from somebody that's limited, then I have to worry that if I'll take too much, there won't be enough for anybody else. But I'm asking from you, Hashem. You don't have that problem. So the Gemara says that at that point, Hashem Kaviyochel was so happy with his answer. It was such, he really hit the nail on the head that Kaviyochel Hashem gave him, like when a small child says something very smart and the parents give him a little pinch on the cheek or something like that. Kaviyochel, Hashem flicked him on his forehead, and that's where this spark of light came out. This is the story as it's presented in the Gemara. The Marsho in the Gemara itself says that it's most logical to say that when Hashem said, "Do you want me to destroy the world and recreate it?" It's ridiculous to say that Hashem meant that the whole world, including all the other tzaddikim, should be destroyed just to modify one tzaddik's parnosa situation. Can't be that's what it means. The Marsho says what probably it's referring to is the soid of Gilgulei Neshamois. That it means the fact that when Hashem said destroy the world and recreate it, each person is called a world. What Hashem was saying to Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos was, do you want to terminate this Gilgul and start your next Gilgul? And maybe in your next Gilgul, based on the cycles, the intent is for you to be wealthy. And, you know, that'll be the deal. And this is why Rabbi Elazar said, the question is, how much longer do I have to go? If I don't have that much longer to go, then I can handle it. If it's a long time to go, then I don't know if I can hold out this test of such extreme poverty. Maybe it's worth it that this Gilgul should be terminated and come back again in a time of Shefa. The Tikkuni Zohar goes into tremendous detail on this story to explain why it is this way, exactly how it works, where the Shefa comes from, how the Shefa comes from the Malchus, and when the Neshama is Nisgalgel, exactly what happens. But in any case, just on the simplest level, and to see how it fits into this chapter, what Rabbi Nizal is pointing out here is that regarding why tzaddikim sometimes don't have parnosa, it's based on this galgalo de rokia de hodra. It's based on these cycles that go around, these gilgulim. And sometimes it has to be this way, that within a particular gilgul, the test for this gilgul is poverty. In the next gilgul, the test is going to be wealth. And this is how a person shows their loyalty to Hashem, proving that they can serve Hashem under all different circumstances. So this is why it was conceivable that even though his tefillah was perfect, still he found himself lacking in parnosa, that the gashmias didn't come. Now Rabbi Nizal says, v'zeh kinim ta'selatevo. There's a pasuk when Hashem gave Noach instructions to build the teva, he said to him that you should take these reeds and use it for part of the construction of the teva. Isa b'medrash, the medrash says that what's the connection to kinim? We know that a metzora, a person who contracts leprosy, they have to bring their korban is a nest of birds. Shtei tziporim chayes tahoros, that's what they bring as a tshuva for their sin, because their crime was that they were moitzi ra, they spoke bad against somebody else, lashon hara, whatever it is. Therefore, as their tikkun, they have to bring birds. Birds are known for their chatter, making a lot of noise. So the Gemara says about this ark that Noach built, ma kinim metaharim es hametzora, just as a nest of birds purifies a metzora, af tevoscho metaharoscho, so too your teva, your ark, will purify you from the filth of the Doir HaMabul. That whole generation then was impure. They were all sinners. Hashem told Noach to go into the Teva, and that would purify him against all what was going on outside of the Teva. That's why there's an analogy, a connection made between Kinim Tase La Teva. The Teva will do for you what the Kinim did for whom it was supposed to purify. Rabbi Nizal says, "Af tevos hametzora ze nirgan mafrid aluf." A metzora is one who uses his tongue to bring about pirud. It's one who goes about making machlekes, breaking up friendships, breaking up shalom between people by telling one person bad things about the other person. Umafrid bein ish lishtoi, and he is one who makes a pirud between husband and wife. Vaydezer, and as a result of that, bodod yeshev. That's why his punishment is that he must go outside the machne. He must be exiled, separated from people. Why? Because just as he wanted to bring about separation, his punishment is that he has to be separated. V'kinim metarim oisoi, and it's this nest of birds that's metar the metzora. Ach tevo, af tevoscho, so to the tevo. Tevo means an ark. Tevo also means a word of tefillah. The tevo means words of tefillah. Af tevoscho, einu tevas hatefillah, misaknin es hamachloikes, v'oise shoim hakloli. So to the power of tefillah is such that it's able to fix up any pigam of machlekes, and to bring about a shalom hakloli, shalom b'chol ha'olamos, a peace in all the different worlds. V'zeh shemesayimim atfilah b'sholom. This is why the last word in Shmoneh Esrei is hamavorech asam Yisrael b'sholom, because this is what tefillah is able to fix up. Tefillah is able to fix up any pigam in shalom. So that here Rabbeinu Zal took this Gemara and showed how this Gemara contained in it all the different parts of what we spoke about. How it starts off with a sholem ba'atzomov. A person has to first bring about a sholem between his guf and his shama. Once he does that, he's able to daven. He's able to daven the right way. And once he davens the right way, the highest form of tefillah is where a person is davening only for their ruchnius. And Rabbi Nizal says you would assume that when a person is davening only for the ruchnius, the gashmius will come automatically, and there's no chance in the world that the gashmius won't come. You have to know that there are certain times when the gashmius does not come, even though the ruchnius is kitikuna. Such a thing is possible. Such a thing is possible. And then Rabbeinu Zal finishes off by saying that this tefillah, once it is bishleimus, one of the greatest things that it accomplishes is it fixes up any pirud, any separation that there is. Now, first we spoke about an internal shalom. Once that's intact and there's tefillah, the tefillah leads to a shalom hakloli, a peace in the world or a peace in all the different worlds. So that this story from the Gemara and this whole explanation was an elaboration of this last paragraph that we had in the previous year, where Rabbeinu Zal brought in that once there's a Sholem Batsamov, that the Sholem Batsamov leads to Tefillah, and Tefillah leads to a Sholem Kloli.
One of the things we had learned in the previous time is that one of the worst things that could happen to a person is that you do Misgalim. It's even worse than Gehenna. So what kind of favor is Hashem offering him, is doing for him by offering him to be miscalculated?
The question is very sensible, that usually we assume that the worst option is Gilgul. That's what we're told. That if a person had a choice between Gehenna and Gilgul, Gehenna is better. Because at least there, a person's sure he's not going to get worse in Gehenna. Whereas a person comes down by Gilgul, Chas v'Shalom, a person could do certain wrong things here that could make his situation much worse. However, we know that Rav Nosson Zal once made a statement where he said that the importance and what's accomplished by going to Rabbeinu Zal's tzion is so great that if I knew that I would have to come back b'Gilgul, but I was guaranteed that within that Gilgul I would have the privilege of going to Rabbeinu Zal's tzion, I would be willing to accept the Gilgul, no question. So we see that there is a concept of a person accepting Gilgul. There is a concept of certain things that a person could do which would make the Gilgul very worthwhile. In this case, again, we're talking about a case of a person who was going through extreme poverty, which the Gemara says that's oni choshuv kemeis, and there are things, there's damage. The Gemara says there are certain times that an oni, because of his state of poverty, it could drive him to insanity and other things, where because of this reason, the question was how far this Rabbi Elazar ben Pedos could hold out. Sometimes a person is literally at the end of their rope where they know they can't take any more. Period. They can't go another inch. So here, because he was so great at tzaddik, Hashem was offering him the option, if you want out now, you can have it. Tzaddik said, it depends how much longer. If it's very long, I can't handle that much more. Just as the Gemara talks about the difference between dying al Kiddush Hashem versus torture. The Gemara talks about the case of Hananya Mishael of Azariah, who are willing to go into a fire. And the Gemara says that there's something worse than death. Even people who are ready to take upon themselves to die al Kiddush Hashem, that yes, and torture possibly they couldn't handle. So we see that there's different degrees in terms of suffering.
I thought that there's a principle that Hashem doesn't give a person a test that they can't handle. So
true.
Where does he go asking Hashem? Is it much longer? Obviously, if Hashem is the one meeting it out, then you should be able to handle it.
This was one of the rabbis of the Gemara. The Gemara says that when Hashem first created the world, he discussed it with the neshamos of tzaddikim. So we see, obviously, they are permitted to negotiate with Hashem. In other words, they understand, they know the Ratzon of Hashem to the extent where he wasn't chas v'shalom arguing with Hashem, he wasn't trying to do different from what Hashem would want. He was trying to get to know what the Ratzon of Hashem was for him. And by asking the right questions, he knew how to determine what Hashem really wanted him to do.
I don't think this Gemara is telling us that he would have necessarily... If he would automatically get another gilgul. Only if he wouldn't be able to take it anymore, then he would get another gilgul.
That's what it is.
But if he would last this one out, perhaps no more gilgul.
Also true. You know that the Arizal shows many of the rabbis of the Gemara who did come back to Gilgul, not because they were bad, not because chas v'shalom they did anything wrong, but because there were certain things they needed to complete in different forms. Number one. Or, in certain cases, for the benefit of a generation. Rabbi Nazal told his Talmidim clearly that my purpose in being in the world is not for me. I'm not here to be mashlim anything for myself. I'm here to serve the generation. The Zohar HaKadosh says, Moshe Isa b'chol dor v'dora, that the neshama of Moshe Rabbeinu comes back in every single generation again and again, not because of his own tikkun, but because of his love for the Am Yisrael. He wants to be with them in every generation, giving them the support that they need to improve a little bit more, until they get to Shlemus, until they get to when Mashiach will come. Now, Rabbi Nazal goes back and ties this whole chapter into a pasuk in Chumash. This was a review like of the last section of this Torah. Now we're going to go back and bring everything together, even what we had earlier. Rabbi Nazal says, "Vizeh pirush tiku." The Rabbi Nazal is going to use the pasuk "tiku b'chodesh shofar b'kesel liyom chagenu." That pasuk, that on chodesh, on Rosh Hashanah, which comes out on Rosh Chodesh, we blow the shofar b'kesel when the moon is hidden. On Rosh Chodesh, the moon is completely covered up. Liyom chagenu, on the day of our holiday, Rosh Hashanah. Tiku, Loshen Sholem. To blow the shofar is a concept of peace. Kemoshe Kosov, as the Pasuk says, Usekativ Yosed B'mokoyim Nemon. This is talking about the king of the Jewish people. Hashem says, I will establish his kingdom as firmly as a spike that's driven into the ground. Just as that holds real well, you can't pull it out easily, so too the kingdom of Bnei Israel will be established that seriously. Now, what threatens a kingdom? Lack of Shalom, period. No, the Malchus of Shlomo HaMelech was B'Shlemus, this case of Uskativ Yosei B'Mokim Nemon. Why? Because there was Shalom. It was an era of world peace. There was no Machlokes, there was no battles, Milchomos in the world. So we see that usikativ, which means to blow the shofar, also means to establish something firmly in place, where it's not wavering, it's not shaky. Shaky is an inyan of machloikis. Steady, stable is an inyan of sholem. The Parpores L'chachm also quotes the posuk uveyoim simchaschem uvamoyadechem uvroshechotshechem toriu l'ashem. That when do the Yidden blow shofar? The posuk says in Chumash, on their holidays, b'yom simchaschem u'b'yadechem, which is a time of shalom. Again, that's a time when there's the greatest degree of peace in the home. The lighting of the candles, representing the epitome of shalom bayis. The simcha, the ikar simcha, is from shalom. The pasuk says, ki b'simcha seitzeyun u'v'shalom tuvolon, that those two go together. So if it says, u'v'yom simchaschem toriyu, it means that the blowing of shof is connected to shalom. So tikul represents shalom.
Bachodesh shofar. Chodesh means month. Chodosh also means new. Behisparus chodosh. How do you bring about shalom? By bringing something new into the world. Hainu hisalus kevoidoi al yidei iskarvus hagerim oi bali tshuva. This refers to the nachas that Hashem gets when somebody brings him a new customer. Not somebody that's been religious all his life, but somebody takes somebody that wasn't religious or wasn't even Jewish and makes them religious, makes them a Jew. That's chodosh. That's bringing something new to Hashem. Bakese zebechinas yira shehu shoyresh hakovoid. So bachodesh shofar refers to something new, which is the ikar. We said the main hizgala, so the kovod of Hashem is when a person is makariv new people. And once you have that kovod, you have to be mala the kovod to yira. We learned earlier, bakese zebechinas yira. Bakese represents fear of Hashem. Shehu shoyresh hakovoid. That's the origin of kovod. The kese loshen hiskasya. The word kese means covered up. Sheze bechinas dovor hamoser lelev nemar boiv yoresem elikecha. The Gemara says that where does fear of Hashem really come in? By those things that are covered up, where other people don't really see what your intent is. That's where the Torah instructs you, make sure to have fear of Hashem, because Hashem sees inside your heart what your real kavona is. So we see that covered up refers to the union of Yiras Hashem, which is something that's hidden. The Torah says that the fear of Hashem is needed, especially when it's not something that people see what you're doing. Shezeh hadovor mechusa me'ein koil. A person's fear of Hashem is something that's hidden from everybody. The pasuk says, ki o'odom yira le'inayim, v'Hashem yira la'levov. Hashem sees into the heart. What does he see? He sees the true yira of a person, whether the yira is belevov sholem. The same belibenu, v'yosem belibenu, li'avo, Uliyira is Belev Sholem. In other words, if you look, there are a few psukim like that where it mentions this Lev Sholem related to Yira specifically. Liyoim Zebechinas Sholem. Bakese Liyoim Chagenu. What does Yoim represent? Rabbi Nezal says Yoim Zebechinas Sholem Bayis. Daytime represents Sholem Bayis. Ki Yoim Hu Bechinas Oyer. Day is another name for light. As the pasuk says in the beginning of the Torah, Vayikro Elikim Lo'or Yoim. Hashem gave light another name. What did he call it? He called it day. Va'or hu shalom bayis. And we know that light is an inyan of shalom bayis. Chazal, as the Gemara says, Ner Shabbos koidem lekiddush hayoim ki shalom bayis koidem. The Gemara discusses if a person only has limited funds and they only have money either for candles for Shabbos or for wine for Kiddush. What should they use the money for? The Gemara says they should use the money for the candles for Shabbos. Why? Because Shalom Bayis comes first. That's the most important. So we see that Ner, the candles which represent light, they represent the union of Shalom Bayis. So Day, Yoim, which is synonymous with Oyer, is synonymous with Shalom Bayis. Chagenu, our holiday, ze bechinas tefila avoida. That represents the concept of davening to Hashem, which is called avoida. Kama yishomer chazal, as the Gemara says in Psochim, lo monis mecho parshas akum, lamoyadim. Why does the Torah discuss the aveir of avoida zora next to a discussion about the holidays? Loimar to teach us kol hamevaze es hamoyadois kilu oved avodah zarah, that a person who doesn't show the right respect to the holidays, it's as if they worshipped idols. Nimtza, so we see from that shmiras hamoyed zebechinas avodah tamo, that if desecrating the holidays is called avodah zarah, then being mechabe the holidays is called avodah Tama, avoida bishlemus, not avoida zora. It's called kosher avoida. Ve'ein avoida ela tfila. So we see that the holidays, keeping the holidays, is called avoida. Avoida is synonymous with tfila. The Gemara says in Tainus, ula ovdoi bechol levavchem, ezeu avoida shebelev, haviomer zu tfila. We see that avoida is synonymous with tfila.
Vayde tefila yovoy l'sholem hakloli. And that's how a person brings about the sholem hakloli. It starts off with the kovod of Hashem. The first thing you have to do is fix up the kovod of Hashem. How? By being mekar of rechoykim. Then you have to take that kovod and be malet to yira. And then, through that, the person is zeichet to an initial sholem, a sholem bat samov. Then there's zeichet to tefila. And then through tefillah, there's zeichet to a sholem hakloli, to that second level of sholem. Nimtza, therefore, to summarize things, mi sheroitza lahamshich sholem hakloli, if a person wants to be zeichet to draw upon himself, to effect this sholem hakloli, tzorech lahalois hakovoid l'sharoshoi, haino liyira, the first thing he has to do is elevate the kovoid to its origin, which is yira, vayidei hayira hu zeichet l'sholem bayis, and through yira, a person is zeichet to sholem bayis, vayidei sholem bayis hu zeichet l'tfila, vayidei tfila hu zeichet l'sholem hakloli. That's the sequence of how these things work. We'll hold it over here for now.
What exactly this Shalom Kloli is?
Rabbi Nizal said earlier that it's talking about Shlemus Ha'olamos. It's talking about completing the tikkun of all the worlds. And it's Kiruv, right, Kiruv Ha'olamos L'Shlemusan. Now it's being misakin. The word Shalom means peace. The word Shalom, we said earlier, is also Miloshin Shlemus. In other words, when you take a bread, a challah, and break it in half, it's no longer a Shalom. It's no longer complete. And it represents the opposite of Shalom. Shalom is Achdus, oneness. Lack of Shalom means when there's two. In terms of anything that's lacking in any of the Olamos, that represents an union of a pegam in Shlemus and also a pegam in Shalom. When all the Olamos get to their state of Shlemus, that's called Shalom HaKloli.